This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Most people don't know that Elizabeth actually lived in Germany for a semester of college, having no idea years ago when she lived there that she would be living in Germany, and she was a German major. And so when you were a major at this particular college in Michigan, a language major, if you were studying Spanish, you spent a semester in Spain. If you were studying French, you spent a semester in France. German, you spend a semester in Germany. If you were an English major, you went to Kentucky. That was the program that they went on. So anyway, she had no idea years ago in the 90s that she would be living in Germany. And so that's what she does. And she speaks fluent German. The older two speak fluent German. It's just amazing to hear them speak to their friends in German without missing a beat and then turning to us and speaking in English. But when she was in Germany the first time, she was looking for a church and couldn't find one. She just was not successful in finding a place to worship with other Christians. She's buying a carpet for her little apartment from a man by the name of Mohammed, obviously a Muslim. And somehow the subject came around, I can't find a church, and you would think that would be a little awkward to be talking to a Muslim and saying, I can't find a place to worship, and he says, I can help you. He was from Jordan, emigrated to Germany. He said, I married a girl from Kansas City, Missouri, in the U.S., and she's a Christian, and she goes to such and such a church. Well, he hooked Elizabeth up with his wife. They became the best of friends while they were there. And what's interesting about that story is this, is God used an unlikely person in an unlikely location, an unlikely scenario, to lead Elizabeth to a body of believers that she would become very close to and would end up teaching a class there for women for a period of time. God is in the business of using unlikely people for spiritual purposes, for the kingdom of God, because he's in the business of using you and me. You may be an unlikely person in some ways. Why are you talking about that today? We study today in the Gospel of Luke a man who was known as a centurion. Centurion was an officer over 100 soldiers. Luke 7, beginning at verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The original language, you know what it means? He was finished. He was done for in terms of living. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation, he loves our people, and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't even trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm a guy in charge. I have authority. He said, I'm under authority of other people, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I say to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd, following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. I want you to do an experiment with me where you think of people in your life that were unlikely tools of the Lord in working in your life spiritually. If you try hard enough, you will think of somebody, because I can think of people right now. I think of a woman in Columbus of Irish background who was in her 80s by the name of Margaret. Margaret lived in the inner city of Columbus when I ministered there. People made fun of her. She probably was not very high in her IQ. And yet Margaret could call you on the phone, any of you, if she knew you, and speak something into your life, some truth that you needed to hear, and you'd say, how does she know that? How does she know that that's the problem in our family? How does she know that issue's going on in my life? And I can't explain it other than to say the Lord. And so God could use a Margaret, 85 years old, just to show you what kind of character she was. She was hit by a car, 85 years of age. I was called to Grant Hospital in Columbus, intensive care unit. Her eyes were covered. Her whole head was bandaged from her injuries. When I got in the room, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, Margaret, can you hear me? She said, yes. I said, do you know who I am? She said, yes. And I said, Margaret, did you not see the car that hit you? She said, I did. I was trying to outrun it. 85 years old, trying to outrun a speeding car. But that's another story. God uses people like the Margarets in your life and in my life. What I want to do is just point out four things. Centurion was a highly respected officer. He's working for the Roman occupational forces, but it's pointed out that he loves God's people enough, get this, to write out a check and pay for their church to be built. You know, it's one thing for one of the neighbors here to say, you know, I'm all for what that church is doing. It's another thing to write out a check and say, build yourself a new building. And that's what this centurion did. He paid for the building of the new synagogue. And so he loved God's people. Now, that's what's interesting to me. Don't talk about how you love God if you don't love God's people. Do you follow me? One of the most frightening conversations I've ever had at a church was years ago. I won't even identify the church, where a man was talking to me about another man in the church, and they're both fellow leaders in the church, and the one man said, Oh, how I hate him. The hair on the back of my neck stood up because I'm thinking, we're the body of Christ and you hate him? Yeah, I hate him. We're the part, we call ourselves the church, the body of Christ, and you hate that guy. Yeah, I hate him. Oh, how I hate him. Just this week, I read the words of a counselor who said, if you're a Christian in 2016, and you really consider yourself a believer, you've got plenty of enemies out in the world. You don't need to recruit church people. But wow, what a sentence. If you're a Christian, you're a believer in 2016, there are plenty of people out there you don't even know about who consider you an enemy without recruiting fellow members of the body of Christ. We can't say, oh, I love God, I just hate people, and here's my list. When we love God, we love people. That's a lesson out of verse 5. I want you to notice the man's humility. He's so humble when he could have been proud. He's used to giving orders. He's used to people jumping when he says jump, and yet he says, Lord, I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof. And Lord, if you'll just say the word. How did he know that? I think he heard Jesus speak. I think he may have seen Jesus perform miracles. And he said, Lord, all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed.
We'll continue this message on Cross Hope tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
I want you to notice the man's humility. He's so humble when he could have been proud. He's used to giving orders. He's used to people jumping when he says jump, and yet he says, Lord, I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof. And Lord, if you'll just say the word. How did he know that? I think he heard Jesus speak. I think he may have seen Jesus perform miracles. And he said, Lord, all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed, because I'm under authority and I'm used to giving orders to people who are under my authority. And verse 9 is the key verse. I want you to look at it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Do you know that he probably offended people when he said that? There were people who said, I don't appreciate that. That a man who's a part of the occupational force, who's our oppressor, who loves God's people and who built us a synagogue, you say, I haven't seen faith like that in all of Israel. I'm sure there were people who were offended by it. But he was an unlikely person whom God used. I want to point out something. I have, in verse 9, it says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Question? God's looking at your life and my life. What's he find? Arrogance? Yeah, for some people. God's looking at your life and my life. What does he find? Bitterness? Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of bitter people in the United States of America in 2016. Your bitterness comes from when you've been wounded. And bitterness doesn't start out as sin, but it always ends up that way. If you're bitter long enough towards somebody, eventually it will become a sin in your life that becomes the cancer of the soul. And it defiles people. The Bible says that don't let the root of bitterness grow up and defile many. There's a defiling nature to bitterness. And I remember wanting to know, what does defile mean? And it shook me up because it said in the same way that sexual immorality defiles the body, bitterness defiles the spirit or the soul. It's heavy duty to the Lord. It may not be to us. What's the Lord find in you and in me when he looks at us? He looks at a centurion and he finds a faith that he hasn't seen even in all of Israel. I want to tell you a story about God using unlikely people that is really, I would say, one of the top 10 stories for me that touches me, that I haven't told it in years here. It's told by Tony Campolo, who's professor emeritus at Eastern University in Pennsylvania. I don't want to talk about Tony per se because I know there's controversy surrounding what he believes now and doesn't believe, and I don't want to get into that. I just want to tell you a story he told years ago. A good story stands on its own 2 feet. Tony Campolo says about 30 years ago, he was the speaker at a typical church camp of junior high students. Junior high meaning 7th, 8th, 9th grade students. There was a young man at the church camp, a camper, by the name of Charlie, who had cerebral palsy. You know what it's like when somebody has cerebral palsy. They walk in a halting way. They speak in a halting way. They're very limited in what they can do physically and vocally. And you know, the kids called him Spastic Charlie. Well, this is a dramatic story, to say the least. It's an emotional story that will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To hear this message or any part of this message again, be sure and listen to visual stories and to look at visual stories on our website. That's called crosshope.org. God bless you. Continue this story tomorrow on Cross Hope. There was a young man at the church camp, a camper, by the name of Charlie, who had cerebral palsy. You know what it's like when somebody has cerebral palsy. They walk in a halting way. They speak in a halting way. They're very limited in what they can do physically and vocally. And you know, the kids called him Spastic Charlie. If you can believe this, Christian students at a junior high church camp would walk behind him, walking the way he walked, just to make fun of him, and they thought it was funny. The kids would talk like Charlie would talk, making fun of his speech pattern and his halting speech, and they just treated him awful. This kid just trying to go to camp at a church camp, and the students treating him that way. The final straw was this. Every night, a different cabin was chosen, and the cabin was to choose somebody from your group to give devotions at the campfire at the end of the day. Well, guess who's Charlie's cabin picked? They picked Charlie. I said, that'll be funny. Let's have Charlie give the devotion at the campfire on Friday night. And he did. And Tony Campolo said that Charlie got up, and it took him minutes to say what would take you seconds, would take me seconds to say, I love Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ loves me. People snickering in the background and around the campfire. Isn't that funny? That's not the end of the story. 20 years later, Tony Campolo, when I heard him tell it, said, I still have people come up to me and say, Tony, you don't know me. You don't remember me, but I was one of the kids at that camp. That was the day I gave my life to Christ. That was the day I decided to dedicate my life to full-time Christian service. That was the day I decided to go to the mission field. And Tony Campala would say, isn't it interesting that God would use an unlikely person, Spastic Charlie, to be the one that could bring the message of truth to a young person's heart? God works with unexpected people, unlikely people. And you know who that includes? You. Me. God uses unlikely people to carry his message. John Mark Hicks is a writer who writes this: Jesus' power is the authority to reverse the curse. I love that. The power of Christ is the authority to reverse the curse, to redeem what is broken, to heal the wounded. We don't submit to the tyranny of God when we come to Christ. We submit to his redemptive authority. We trust God's redemptive purpose in Jesus, and we trust that God has given all authority to Jesus to heal a broken world and reconcile God and humanity. God shows up in unexpected ways and places, and when God shows up, he often surprises us. And then he closes with just this paragraph that touched me deeply. Faith shows up at a funeral home. And some of you can relate to that. Faith shows up in a pediatric critical care unit at a hospital. Some of you can relate to that. Faith shows up in families with job losses. Faith shows up in abject poverty. Faith shows up in people with chronic illness and chronic pain. Faith shows up in places where we don't expect faith. God surprises us, and such faith amazes us. May we never lose our sense of wonder and amazement. Well, this message from Luke about God using unlikely people in your life and my life concludes tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know that our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. We continually remind you to look at visual stories on crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Well, I need to tell you what you're going to hear today. It's something very special and very powerful. Sometimes things happen at church that you don't expect. And this was a Sunday where something happened we weren't expecting. I knew nothing about it. I'll tell you about it as a part of the message. But we talk about God using unlikely people, unlikely situation, to minister his grace and his power. This is an example. It happened in our service. I want you to listen to the conclusion of this message from the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. God bless you as you listen to part 5 of God working in the life of a centurion and his servant. God shows up in unexpected ways and places, and when God shows up, he often surprises us. And then he closes with just this paragraph that touched me deeply. Faith shows up at a funeral home. And some of you can relate to that. Faith shows up in a pediatric critical care unit at a hospital. Some of you can relate to that. Faith shows up in families with job losses. Faith shows up in abject poverty. Faith shows up in people with chronic illness and chronic pain. Faith shows up in places where we don't expect faith. God surprises us, and such faith amazes us. May we never lose our sense of wonder and amazement. I can honestly say that at the second service today, we had one of the most powerful prayer moments I've ever seen at Crossview Christian Church. Kind of ironic it was today. A young couple who's been coming here for 5 or 6 weeks brought their baby forward, a baby I didn't know was not theirs, that they're in the process of adopting, a baby that has what's called shaken baby syndrome, brain damage, blind, and has all kinds of problems. And they bring her forward and say, can the church pray for our baby? And we had 50 or 60 parents just come up around that couple and pray. It was a holy moment. Why? Because it was unexpected. We weren't planning on it. And God used parents who weren't expecting to go forward to pray for somebody to do that. And God comes in unexpected moments of life, in a church life, in unexpected moments in your family's life, in an unexpected moment in your marriage. And God can do things that only God can do. Let him do it. Let him do it. Because he's God. Because he's God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're doing here today and for the powerful moments we've already shared in this room. We anticipate people perhaps responding with needs in this room today. We're here to bring people to Christ, not to us, not to a church, but to your son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. If someone needs to respond to that, has a special need of prayer, that's why we're here. That's why we call ourselves a church, the body of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Words are on the screen as Christy leads us in our invitation hymn.
Listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.